Hello, everybody. This is Josh Price, and you are listening to the Mark Price for Three podcast. Each episode, my dad will be talking NBA basketball, sharing some coaching and instruction, and of course, talking about his faith. Without further delay, here's my dad, Mark Price.
Welcome back to the Mark Price for Three podcast, episode 66. We have a lot to cover today. It's going to be a very busy day. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Aaron. Just got off the plane, landed in sunny Cleveland, believe it or not. So that's a rare winter event. So that was kind of a nice surprise. And looking forward to going to the Cavs game tonight.
That's right. You got two Cavs games up in town for Cavs. And who we have tonight? Sixers?
Yeah, the Sixers. It should be a fun game. Sixers, I believe they're in third place behind the Cavs right at the moment, if I'm correct on that.
That's right. And
so this could be a separation game for the Cavs if they keep the winning streak going, you know, kind of separate, kind of establish themselves in that two spot. And the Sixers, I'm sure, are coming in trying to keep it close, trying to make a run at the Cavs to get back in that second spot. So hopefully it'll be a really good game.
I tell you, it's funny, if you go back and listen to the evolution of your podcast for season two here, it's been amazing. I mean, you know, we've been through it as Cavs fans have listened, I'm sure, and it's been amazing how the Cavs have gone from, you said early on, you know, fourth, you thought they'd maybe the fourth best team in the East, to here we are sitting in the two seed. It's unbelievable what they're putting together.
Yeah, we talked about it at the beginning of the season, especially when they had guys in and out of the lineup. And once we got back, we were like, can they make a run? Can they, you know, reel off a few games? Well, I'd say they've made a run and then some.
That's right. Absolutely.
Like 19 out of the last 20 games, the hottest team in the NBA. And it's been fun to watch. They're playing great basketball, and they're not just winning games. They're dominating right now. I mean, they're having these games, and it's like, it's a phrase that's kind of grown this year that people are kind of adopting. They're waiting for the Cavalanche to happen.
That's right.
You know, that one stretch of the game where they go on a 20 to nothing run, or a 10, 12, you know, separation run during the game, and they call it the Cavalanche. But they've been doing that on a pretty regular basis as of late. So a lot to be excited about if you're a Cavs fan. And tonight, you know, you got one of the better teams in the East coming in, and another chance to add another notch to your belt.
100%. And unfortunately, the Celtics are playing equally well at the moment. But yeah, 35-16, 9 in a row, 9-1 in their last 10. Just unbelievable. And what's crazy is they're still 5 games out of first, even with that hot streak. But they're positioned well. And it is incredible. Like you said, those Cavalanches, when they happen, are amazing. One of the things that's always been questioned is toughness. And the other night, you know, Jared Allen got into a little bit of a dust up. And I think they went on one of those Cavalanches right afterwards. And so, you know, if you question toughness, if you ask about toughness, if you worry about the toughness of this team, they responded to a little bit of adversity there with a big run. And that's what you want to see, I would think, right?
No question. No question. I think the players, I'm sure they've heard it since the playoffs last year, of how basically New York punked them in the playoffs and how they weren't tough. They're a soft team. And I'm sure they're getting tired of hearing that. So kudos to Jared Allen. Somebody has to kind of step up and lay the gauntlet down to say, hey, this isn't last year. You don't want to be messing with us. And right. So it was good to see. And so, yeah, kudos to the Cavs. I mean, right now, there's nothing, can't really say. I mean, they're the hottest team in basketball right at the moment. So you probably would rather be this hot, you know, coming in toward the end of March and going into April, playoff-wise. But what they've done is they've definitely separated themselves. They're one of the top teams in the East. And now they're just jockeying for the highest seed that they can get going into the playoffs.
It's been awesome to watch. I don't want to interrupt that conversation, but 30 years ago today, a little something happened, and I'm going to play a clip here, and then we'll talk about it.
Now, last year, he won the finals with 18. Terry Porter had 17 and 5 shots, and he missed all 5.
For the championship, Mark Price. Well, he got started off great. He hit his first 3 shots.
so Dana Barris could have time to think about it. Four in a row, and he hit the funny ball. The angelic face of Mark Price with the eyes of the assassin.
He had six in a row before a miss.
I think Charles hit it right on the head. You better knock Mark Price out early. Once he gets rolling, it's too late.
9 out of 10.
It's just beautiful. Look at this. Is this
everything
beautiful?
Is this. Snap, the snap on the release is done picture.
Is this beautiful?
Wow. Mark Price with the money ball again, putting on a show.
Look at this.
The record is 25 points.
Finish it out, Mark. Finish it out.
Mark Price with 24.
No record. This is great. People give him a standing ovation. What a shooting display by Mark Price.
Charles Barkley, your view on this?
Well, two things. Number one, Mark Price was down and they didn't kick him. And secondly, he puts Dana Barros has to get off to a good start. He's definitely going to start feeling some pressure.
There's a look at Dana Barros watching. Oh, my.
He says, you know what he's saying? Why didn't I go first? At least I wouldn't have to watch this.
So 30 years ago today, you went back-to-back on three-point shootout. Man, what's your recollection? I just want to get your insight, and I'm sure those listening to the podcast today, a lot of people saw the clip out on social media. Man, 30 years ago. Hey, first of all, how has it been 30 years? But let's not even talk about the years, because, you know, that
let's not
get into the years. Let's just say, like, last year, you won back-to-back three-point shootout. Man, what was that like? Mark, it was so amazing. From my perspective as a fan, it was incredible to watch you. You, what, 20 of your first 25? It was one of the most incredible shooting displays ever. Man, can you just take us back to that day a few years ago when that happened?
Well, just to lay a little bit more background, you know, the year before I won it in Utah, well, first time I won it, and I had already been in the three-point shootout a couple times and honestly didn't do that great the first couple times. It was just kind of a weird deal. It had just kind of gotten into the, you know, three-point shootout deal. And so, you know, I got invited again the third time in Utah. And I just kept telling myself it's that first round that was so tough. Now they've changed it some now to what it used to be. It used to be three rounds.
Right.
But, you know, getting past that first round just for some reason for me was always the toughest, whether it was kind of you're cold, you're not in a groove yet or whatever. And I just kept telling people, if I get past the first round, I'm winning this thing. And so that's what happened, you know, in Utah. And so I ended up winning it. And it was close when Terry Porter and I battled it out. And he actually had like the whole last rack to beat me and missed all five shots on the last rack. So I got a little help on that first one. And then the second one was in Minneapolis. And a great crew of guys. I ended up shooting in the finals against Dana Barros. But, I mean, you had guys like Reggie Miller, you know, Steve Kerr, a lot of great, great shooters in that shootout. And I got to the finals, and it was funny because both times that I won, the other guy picked me to go first. You know, they had the choice, and they chose, I guess, in their mind, wanted to see what they needed to beat. Well, I always looked at that as an advantage, because if you lay a serious number on them, then it puts a whole lot of pressure on them.
Sure.
To have to follow that up. And I remember, if you know, anybody watched that, they panned. I made my first 20 out of 20, my first 22 shots, I made 20 of them.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was the third round. I was grooving by then. I remember banging the first five shots in from the first spot, and it just kept rolling. And I remember them panning the camera to Dana Barros. And he had his head in his hands, laughing and just shaking his head, like, why didn't I shoot first? Kind of thought process. And of course she struggled to follow that, and I ended up winning it. So yeah, I was back to back. And I know a lot of people, and I'd like to kind of let people know this too, because I've seen a couple responses to that being out, is, you know, why didn't they let me go for the three-peat? And I was actually injured back there, and I was banged up, and so I had to pull out, so I wasn't able. I just felt like for our team. It was better for me to rest that All-Star weekend and try to get healthy rather than, you know, spend the weekend trying to win another 3-point shootout. So that's why I didn't get a chance to three-peat. Who knows if I'd have been able to accomplish it, but it would have been fun to try. That's for sure.
And I love the audio because the audio explains everything you just said. You know, they did pan over to Barros and he's shaking his head. And I think Doug Collins said, you know, Barros is saying, man, why did I let this guy go first? It's funny because I think Barkley says, look, you got to kick Mark Price when he's down. I think is one of the things in that clip as well is Barkley saying, hey, they had a chance and they didn't take advantage of it. And Mark did. Let me ask you, Mark, I don't know if anybody's ever tried this in your local rec gym. Go grab a rack of balls and try to get those up as quick as you guys do. How hard is the 3-point shootout? You know, people talk about guys that are jump shooters versus guys that shoot flat footed cat. You know, for example, I think won it. And I don't know if you could slip a piece of paper under that guy's feet when he's shooting a three.
Right.
You know, and we'll get into this, I'm sure, in the All-Star weekend. But how hard is that 3-point shootout when you're just you're a born shooter, you're very good at it, it's repetitive. But at the end of the day, that's still very difficult to get that many shots up in that shorter period of time, I imagine.
Well, my first, you know, reaction to that is it's just, even though they're all great shooters, and like I said, I was in it twice, and I just wasn't real comfortable the first couple times because it's not a normal shot.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a catch and shoot. It's not a shot off the dribble. You're not in rhythm. You're literally picking a ball up out of a rack, turning, and now having to shoot. And then not only that, but you got to do, let's see, what back when I did, it was like something like 25 balls, right?
Right.
And 25 balls in a minute. So that's, you're basically getting 2 seconds, 2 seconds a shot, you know, a ball to get it off. And then you got to run to the next rack. And so it's a little, you know, daunting the first time you ever do it, just because it's just kind of weird, you know, but after that, I kind of figured out, you know, how I was going to get it, what side of the, you know, rack I wanted to stand that flowed better into my shot. And I kind of got all that stuff figured out by the time I won it, and then I was able to do it again. So, but yeah, it is very difficult and it's tiring too.
Yeah.
Now I think, I'm not sure if you could, you know, check me on this, but they may only have a couple rounds now, but you know, with it being 3 rounds that, you know, 'cause a lot of times you might be the last shooter. I think one time I was the last shooter in the first round and then one, the first shooter in the second round. So you're not getting a lot of break and it's, you can, you know, it can be tiring too. So there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just, oh, these are all great shooters. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to carry over, you know, into the 3-point shooting contest.
It's interesting too, because I think a lot of us can never dunk, you know, so to watch, right, the dunk contest is something I can't even get my head around. I can't shoot either. So 3-point isn't either, but it's, the 3-pointer is the one thing that we can all do, you know, no matter what the gym it is, we can walk in, at least try to fire one up and, you know, where I probably can't grab the rim. And so I think the 3-point shootout still has such legs, if I can say that. So it's something that we can all do, but it is not easy. And I really wanted to underline the fact that you went out there, not once, but twice against some of the greatest competition, and you went back to back. So again, Mark, congratulations on that. I just have to think that holds a special place in your heart because it was such an important shot in your career.
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, it's on a, you know, the All-Star weekend stage. And so it really brought not only some notoriety to me playing in a smaller market like Cleveland, you know, it brought more notoriety to the whole franchise.
Yeah.
You know, because it was on a national stage. And when you put guys in the All-Star game, I think that year, I'm not sure, one of those years, three of us, Brad, Larry, and myself, were in the All-Star game as well. So, you know, we represented Cleveland well that year, and to win, you know, to win a 3-point shootout, you know, that's something that goes in the record books and all that kind of stuff. And so I was part of the Cavs when that happened, and it brought notoriety to the team, and well deserved, because we had a really good team. And I know the All-Star weekend's coming up here, you know, after this week, you know, they're going to be the All-Star weekend, and Donovan Mitchell, I guess, is going to be shooting the 3-point shootout.
Yep.
for the Cavs. my own personal opinion. How Sam Merrill's not in that, I have no idea. but hopefully Donovan can get that trophy and bring it back to Cleveland.
That's right. Well, thank you again for doing that for the city of Cleveland, Mark. And we have a lot to go through, so I'm not going to rush through that. But we'll I'm sure get into a lot more of this when the All-Star Weekend is available, and we're talking about all the festivities coming up in the All-Star Weekend. But I did have to tell you last night, Super Bowl, incredible. And you know, I think if we roll back the tape on all of our predictions for pretty much everything from Georgia Tech to the Super Bowl, I haven't won one yet. You've been right on every one of them, and you were correct in your
The contrarian, hadn't worked too well for you so far, but I can understand. I mean, I was at the start pulling for Brock Purdy, and I just was like, here's a guy that's in the big game, and he played really well. You know, he's a guy that was last draft pick and all this. What a great story, he is, and to be able to win a Super Bowl. But it's like I told you last week, I just can't, I can't pick against Mahomes, because if he gets the ball last, man, that dude is just, I mean, you don't want to say unstoppable, but so far he is.
Right.
Just like, and I just said, well, that's when they kicked the field goal. You know, talk about pressure, right? How about in San Francisco? You're down there, within the 20-yard line, 10-yard line, whatever it is, and you get to fourth down. And, I mean, you almost have to think, we got to score a touchdown and win it here, because we're not going to win if we kick a field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, that had to go in their minds, because, I mean, there was, 6 minutes on the clock or something like that. And, I'm just like, that's way, way too much time for Mahomes. And, I mean, he just took them straight down the field and won another one. I mean, amazing. You have to call him a dynasty, I guess, at this point. And they're so young. The guy's 28 years old. That's what's scary.
Yeah.
So, kudos to the Chiefs. They did it again. Mahomes did his thing. But, it was a great game. It was a great game.
A lot of fun to watch. And, it was funny when you were talking about going last and then first in the 3-point shootout. I was thinking about a lot of people talking today about how San Francisco chose to get the ball first in overtime. And, a lot of people talking about they didn't understand the rules and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I think it goes to what you were talking about in the 3-point shootout. Do you want to put a big number up, or do you want to know what your number is to hit? And I think that's what happened with Mahomes. He knew he just had to go down and get a touchdown. But he knew what was ahead of him. And gosh, what a great game, though. And you got to love that as any sports fan, that game really gave us everything you could hope for. And man, congrats to the Chiefs. Congrats to you again for picking correctly.
I've been lucky with that, but I think Mahomes is just, he's up there with Brady now. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And, Brady still has a few more and this and that, but it's just crazy. It's crazy how good, I mean, those two have, the mentality of, I just remember living in Atlanta and the Falcons and up 24-3 or whatever it was. And watching, you just felt it. You're just like, as an Atlanta fan, you were just like, we're up, we should win this game, but Tom Brady's over there.
Yes,
right. It just happened. And it was got to be the same way. San Francisco, you're like, man, we played good. Man, Mahomes is over there.
Yeah.
It's like he's going to get the ball. And it's just like you're almost at their mercy at that point. And you could kind of see it on Kansas City, the defense on that last drive. I mean, you could just see, their run. I mean, no matter what they did, Mahomes had an answer.
Yep.
And you could tell it just deflated them. I mean, by the end, you just knew they weren't going to stop them. And you could see it on their faces. And it was just, when a guy's in that groove in that moment, and it is. I mean, I unfortunately had to play against Michael Jordan too many times, and I know exactly that feeling, because no matter how good you're playing or whatever, sometimes you just can't stop that guy.
Yeah,
and it's deflating. It's deflating to a team, and you could see it. I thought in my mind that you know, as that drive kept going on and on and on, you could just see the defense was just deflated at that point. They were like, there's nothing we can do to stop this guy.
It's so funny you say that, because when I was watching the game, I was thinking about how Michael Jordan kept a lot of really, really good teams from a championship, you know, and sometimes there's just that guy that's got that gene or whatever it is, that voodoo magic, whatever it might be. Man, when I was watching that, I was thinking, you know, that 49ers team is really, really good and they have nothing to show for it. You know, yeah, they were in the Super Bowl. Nobody will remember that. They'll remember Mahomes, you know, and that's what I, when I look back at, you know, the Cavs and the Pistons, the Trailblazers, the Jazz. I mean, there's a lot of really, really good teams with all-star players that never won because 23 was on the other side of the ball. And, you know, I don't know. It's funny you mention that because I had that exact same thought watching the game last night.
Yeah, it's brought, you know, I could relate. Like I said, I got a chance to play against the best that ever did it and in basketball. And yeah, so there's just no matter how good you play, sometimes it's just not good enough because that guy gets the ball last.
That's right. That's right. And sports can be so cruel that way. I mean, it could just be so cruel, you know, unless you're the winning city and then it's the greatest thing ever. You know, there's, you know, LeBron's done that to a few people, right? It's, including ourselves. So we got that to celebrate in Cleveland. Want to move to trades. The trade deadline happened. Like I said, we got a lot to do today. The trade deadline happened. The Cavs held pat. And we're going to talk about that in our face segment. But, you know, a few teams made some changes. The Knicks was the one, I think, that they bolstered their bench a bit. And I think the Knicks is still a little raw for Cleveland fans just based on last year. What were your thoughts on the trade deadline? What teams do you feel like maybe got a little better? You know, the Bucks added Pat Bev. Knicks added some shooting and some bench guys. What did you think going out of the trading deadline?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of moves there toward the end of it. Like you said, the Knicks have gotten, because it's New York, they've gotten a lot, most of the pub on the trade, made some, but I think New York looked at its team and they've developed that Thibodeau kind of Miami Heat type culture, toughness thing there. But I think they all knew, and they saw it last year once they got, you know, farther into the playoffs, you got to have some ammunition offensively as you go along in the playoffs. And so they made some moves to go get some guys that can score the ball. And we'll see how it works out for them. And I think a lot of people are, you know, excited about the moves they made. You never know when you make these trades if they're going to work out or they're not. You kind of roll in the dice. Teams that are kind of in the playoffs, especially teams that are looking for that one player or two players that can kind of make the difference, you know, get them over the hump, so to speak. And so it's always interesting to see how they work out. But, yeah, some moves the Bucks bring in Pat Bev, you know, he's one of those guys that you love him or you hate him,
right?
Kind of guy. But I think the thought process for the Bucks is they've recently, anyway, which is strange, but they haven't shown a lot of toughness with kind of taking the hit with teams and things like that. And so, you know, Pat Bev comes in and he's going to bring that attitude kind of to the team, that fight and some, you know, veteran leadership type thing. And we'll see how that works out for them. But yeah, I think the Cavs looked at Kobe Altman and probably JB Bickerstaff and all of them. They were like, is there a move out there that really moves the needle for us? I mean, why would you mess with how good we're playing right now?
Right.
And maybe it's a good player, but maybe the chemistry gets messed up. And you obviously have great chemistry going on with the Cavs right now. And, you know, in a lot of ways, they're probably looking at, hey, we feel like we're making moves just by getting guys healthy again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think the Cavs were smart to stick Pat with these guys. They like playing together. They're on a run right now. They're rolling. No need to shake up the cart, so to speak, in that situation. So I think one move that I saw, and it wasn't even a trade, interesting is, you know, and the Lakers have been that team this year that's been disappointing for everybody. Everybody thought they were better. A guy they just picked up off the waiver wire, which was shocking that he got just kind of let go, is Spencer Dinwiddie.
Right.
And he could be a serious X factor for, you know, if he gets in back to playing at a level anywhere close to what he has over the last few years. Now, I know he hasn't played very well this year, probably to the point of letting go. But a lot of people feel like maybe he wasn't playing well because he wanted to get out of a situation that he was in. And so, but he's a very talented player, and he could be a guy that could kind of mix things up for the Lakers and maybe get them playing better again. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I just thought that was an interesting one of all the things that I saw.
And I was going to ask you about the buyout market, because it has changed a bit. I mean, at the end of the day, you have a team like the Lakers, and a lot of people look at the Lakers and think if they just play hard, they've proven it. If AD plays as well as AD can play, if LeBron is LeBron, the role players play better. You know, the Lakers could be very dangerous. I mean, they won the silly in-season tournament, but, you know, that was because they were playing at a high level and they were playing connected and strong. And then they go out and they get a guy, to your point, off of the waiver wire, who's very good. I mean, it's not like, you know, they went to the G League and pulled some guy that nobody's ever heard of. So the buyout market is interesting. I do wonder if the Cavs will pick up anybody in that buyout market, because there are guys that are going to be, you know, cut loose for their salary or their you know, cap room. There's a lot of things that go into that. But the buyout market's interesting. I do think a few of those teams kind of held pat and said, you know what, let's just see what falls out in all these moves and who they're going to cut. Joe Harris is a guy, and I don't know how much Joe has left, but that was a guy that's a shooter that can contribute, that I think I saw that, I don't even know, I think it might have been the Pistons, where he is now. But that was another name that I was like, wow, Joe Harris could help somebody, I would think, in today's NBA. Just interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point. I saw his name as well. Another guy that's obviously had some good years in the NBA. You know, haven't had his strongest years recently, but obviously the way the game is being played right now, three-point shooting, you know, he's a guy that can make shots. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see on some players like that, kind of see how it shakes out.
So I want to move to the faith segment. And when we were talking about standing pat versus making a big splash trade, my thought was, in our faith, I think there's times where we are going to be influenced in life to, you know, the internet, Twitter, everything was going crazy last week during with the NBA trading deadline. You got the trade machine on ESPN where you can plug in people, and everybody's got an opinion, you know, on what they think their team should do or who they should go get. And all of a sudden we're all capologists, right? Trying to figure out what maneuvers we can make. I think in our faith, sometimes we allow people to maybe do that for us as well. And at times it's really important to do what the Cavs did and just say, you know what? I like my team. I like who I am. I know where I am in my faith. And it's a stretch, but do you follow me? And is that something that maybe you want to talk about today in the faith segment, is, you know, holding fast in our faith?
Yeah, totally. Being steadfast. Right. I know a guy had a song named that, I think, a while back. But, you know, being steadfast, as scripture says, in our faith. And like you mentioned, sometimes, and one of the verses that we were talking about this a little bit the other day that came to my mind, was one of my favorite verses, is just the simple, be still and know that I'm God. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
You know, even the sense of standing pat, but, you know, Jesus was our example. So many times he just had to get away from it, get away from the noise, yeah, and go to a quiet place and pray, you know, even get away from the disciples, you know, as good as those guys were. But he just needed to hear from God just by himself, you know. And it's great to get advice from other people, and we have mentors, and those are invaluable in our lives, but there are certain times, man, we just need to hear from God, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, get away, be fine, you know, just kind of get away from the noise, turn off the internet, whatever it might be, just spend some time in reading God's word and let God's word speak to us, you know, and pray. And I just know that there's many times in my life when it's just like big decisions needed to be made, or do we make a move on this, or the different things in crazy, you know, to move to this team, or, you know, buying a house, or, well, all the different things in life, the busyness, kids, and what school they're going to go to, and what teams they're going to play on, and all these different things and the just the busyness of life that we all get caught up in, you know, to just sometimes we just need to be still and know that He is God and that He's got a plan for us and that let's see what God has to say about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can get input from your wife, which is valuable, and input from your pastor that's valuable, and input from friends that are valuable, and family, and like I said, all those people that you trust and listen to. But sometimes you just need to hear from God.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And it's just like, because, you know, maybe He shows you which person you need to listen to or, you know, what makes sense. But sometimes you just need to say, hey, God, you're God. I'm not. I need to hear from you. You know, show me in your word today what I need to hear to refresh my spirit, to help me make a big decision so that I don't get ahead of God. Right.
Right.
A lot of times we get ahead of God because we don't just wait. You know, this other scripture that you talk about waiting, you know, on the Lord and He'll renew your strength and you'll mount up with wings as eagles. And, you know, that's hard for us to do in our world today because of the information's coming at you 24/7. Just seems like the world's spinning at a faster pace than it ever has. Sometimes we need to just be still and know that He's God. And we need to wait on the Lord and let Him renew our strength. And I don't know, those just really jumped out at me this week as I was thinking about this. And those are challenges for us because we're not built that way. We want stuff to happen. We, you know, we live in a, you know, hey, you get a text, you got to answer it right now, you know?
Right.
And my wife and I, we get in an argument about that sometimes. You know, she's like, well, didn't he text you? And I'm like, well, yeah, but I don't want to answer him yet. You know, type thing. Or, you know, I'm kind of bad about that sometimes. But like, sometimes it's just, I feel like you need to think about something before you just respond, you know, at a moment's notice and things like that. But yeah, that's what really jumped out to me this week.
And I'll take it one step further. It's funny because when you're talking about that, you know, Christ Himself went off to pray. And I remember, and so think about this if you have friends that maybe have disappointed you because they didn't agree with what you were praying about or those things. You know, we talk often about having that community or that group of people and friends in your life. You know, Christ went off to pray and He came back and they were all asleep, you know, right? And He was like, hey, couldn't you wait 5 minutes? Like, I'm over here, like, going through, it was right before the crucifixion. And, you know, He's over here, you know, praying to the point where he's literally sweating blood. And, you know what I mean? And he comes back and his guys are asleep. Like you said, I think it is important that we get alone, we get quiet. And even when maybe our village that we talk so much about or our circle of friends doesn't necessarily understand, it's still important that we get quiet because it really is a personal relationship. And it's so important to have those people in your life speaking into your life. But at the end of the day, it's about you and it's about God's plan for your life. And if we don't get quiet with Him, we're going to be distracted by all the trade deadline rumors that we should make when the best thing we could do is hold fast and just be quiet and still. I love those scriptures that you mentioned because it's so important that we just get still sometimes and listen to His voice and let Him guide our path. And if your village is strong, your village is going to support you because they know that you're in step with Him.
Right. That's correct. And He may show you that what one of your main, you know, your main guys, what they said jumps out at you more than somebody else, right. You know, so God will lead and use what they've said, but sometimes He puts it in the right order. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And makes sense of it that, you know, I don't know about you, but there's just sometimes I've been dealing with something and I'll get in the word and God will just, whatever it is I read, all of a sudden it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Whereas it might have been confusing before, and then just spending time with God and, you know, just sharing your heart with Him and your burdens, your cares, your worries, to know that He cares for you and listen to His voice and all of a sudden you like get up and you see clearer. You see, you know, you have a peace that you didn't have before. You know, it just makes sense when it didn't. And that's what God can do in all of our lives if we'll just get out of the way sometimes and let him, you know.
It's so interesting that you said that, because last week I was in Genesis, you know, how many times you read Genesis and, you know, the story of Adam and Eve, but there was a scripture in there where he said, where are you? And who told you that? Two very important things that just jumped out to me last week. How many times have I read that? How many times have I heard that? But it was just so real. And that's the beauty of scripture and being quiet and spending time with him, is hearing things in a very different way. And it was such a reminder that God said, where are you? Like, where are you? And the second thing is when he said, who told you that? Like, we believe the trade machine. We believe, you know, what the noise around us says, when God said, who told you that? Because that's not from me. You know, that's not my word. That's not my plan for your life. That's not why I designed you the way I did. And when I read that just last week, it was just so powerful to me. Something so simple. Who told you that? You know, and I don't know who hears your podcast, but you know, if you're believing that, or if you've got noise in your life, you know, just think back to Genesis or the very beginning of the Bible when he said, who told you that? Because that's not what I have for you.
Yeah. That's not coming from me.
Right. Right.
You know, we know who that other stuff is coming from.
Exactly. Right.
The enemy's always talking to us nonstop, right? Tempting us, whatever it might be, but he's constantly making noise. He's the noise maker.
Yeah.
And yet Jesus wants us to be quiet so we can hear his voice. You know, it's just really contrast the way God wants us to come into his presence. And just, hey, God, you're God, I'm not, I need help.
That's right. That's right.
Sometimes it can be as simple as that.
Be still and know that I am God, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. So not to transition quickly again, but you are up in Cleveland, 2 games this week. We'll talk about those next week. And hey, last thing, camps. We always bring those up. Camps are off and registration is happening quickly. How are you feeling about the camps this year?
Well, we're just kind of getting it ready and getting it out there. This is the time of year people start making plans for the summers, what they want to do, what camps they want to go to. So we just want to get it out there as quick as we can and as much as we can that, hey, we're here. We'd love to have you come learn some basketball, learn some skills. Hey, a lot of the things that I do at my camp with my campers are things that I did growing up to become a good basketball player. So if you want to improve your game, you want to just come have a good time with some other kids that love basketball, man, come to a Mark Price camp. You can find the different places that we're going to be around Cleveland, and you know, one up in Columbus area at Hilliard and North Canton as well. So we're spread out. We're spreading our wings, so to speak. We're going to have 6 camps this year. It's the most we've ever done. So super excited about that. But you can find the right one for you at markpricecamps.com. So check it out. Look at the locations. And we'd love to see you this summer.
MarkPriceCamps.com. I know I've mentioned this before. You were in Hilliard last year, and a lot of folks I know that went to that are looking forward to it again this year, and just very excited. They were so excited to be there. So MarkPriceCamps.com, and let's get those signed up and filled in. This is going to be an awesome summer.
Yeah, it is. Looking forward to it.
All right, Mark, episode 67 next week. We'll have much more to talk about. Talk about your time up in Cleveland. And boy, the NBA always provides drama. And so we'll, I'm sure, have more to talk about next week about what happened this week in the NBA and much more.
Yeah, and start looking toward the NBA All-Star weekend. It's always a showcase for the NBA. And they tweaked it a lot, some good tweaks, some bad tweaks. We can talk about some of that next week. So look forward to it.
Looking forward to it as well. Thank you, Mark, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, Aaron. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Mark Price for Three podcast. Remember to subscribe, like, review, and share. I'm Josh Price, and we will talk to you again on the next episode.
You don't have to go very far looking for bad news because somehow it just finds you. So finding peace in the chaos can be really difficult, but it doesn't have to be because the River mobile app exists. The River is a Christian music radio station dedicated to playing music to help you get through life's toughest moments or life's happiest moments and everywhere in between, and all from artists who love Jesus and are real people just like you. Listening is easy. You can download it wherever you get apps from. Just search 1049 The River or listen online at riverradio.com.